Secret of Devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. In this episode of Signs and Secrets, basing herself on insights from St. John's Gospel, host Mariana Bartold examines why God chose now as the providential time to reveal devotion to his mother's heart. We must connect Christ's first coming and forming his church on Calvary with his second coming. Our Lady participated in the former in a singular and most excellent way, but it was hidden. Likewise, shall she participate in the latter, but then in a manner witnessed worldwide. St. Louis de Montfort and St. Bonaventure also help us see why God wills that we practice this devotion in these latter times.
We know that Our Lady of Fatima revealed that God wishes to establish throughout the world devotion to her Immaculate Heart. But today I wanted to share with you that once, years ago, while reading the Gospels, a question came to my mind, and it was this. Do we see the foreshadowing of that devotion with the interaction between our Lord on the cross, his Virgin Mother, and St. John the Evangelist? This is, of course, a wondrous topic of such great depth and breadth that a brief video like this one can only highlight certain key points. But we can start by considering the devotion of St. John, who was the youngest of the apostles, to the Virgin Mother of God, who we also address under many titles, including the Immaculate Heart of Mary. No, the Virgin's many titles are not openly given in the Holy Scriptures, but that which God reveals about her returns us to that which St. Bonaventure called the general law of preparation. Briefly, this law refers to the way God provides divine revelation to make ready the human race for his undoing of the awful consequences of original sin, taken in conjunction with man's response to God's overtures. You may recall that in the last episode, I further explained what the saint meant by the general law of preparation, because it is truly important for us to know it and to understand it. In the event that you missed that broadcast, you might want to look at the Fatima Center's playlist for Signs and Secrets to find and watch episode 20. Let us now return to St. John the Evangelist, of whom St. Ambrose later wrote, "He lived at the source of heavenly secrets." That phrase refers to the Virgin Mary. We know this from the Gospel of St. John, when he relates to us what happened during the Passion of Christ. Due to his great love for our Lord and his Virgin Mother, St. John was the only apostle to stand at the foot of the cross with Our Lady, as well as with St. Mary Magdalene, whom the Church calls the Great Penitent. In overcoming his own fears of persecution and possible death, St. John chose to follow Jesus during his Passion and to assist Our Lady in her greatest sorrow. In his Gospel, starting with chapter 19, verse 26, St. John recorded that our Lord, looking down at his mother and the disciple, meaning himself, said, "Woman, behold thy son." After that, he saith to the disciple, "Behold thy mother." Think of it. Three words to both of them. Now, St. John continued, "And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own. Afterwards, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst." Let us take special care to note that it was only after Jesus addressed his mother as woman, just as our Lord spoke of the woman in Genesis 3:15, and after St. John took her to his own, that Christ knew all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Furthermore, in his Gospel, St. John revealed that Jesus first spoke to Mary, his holy mother, rather than to him, an apostle. This is exceedingly relevant because first, Our Lady's office in our redemption, and yes, and even our final salvation, if we cooperate with God's graces, is even higher than that of the apostles, because she is the Virgin Mother of God, which means that she is Mother of the Church. And second, because our Lord's brief words to the Virgin and St. John are not a matter of only asking the apostle to take physical care of the Virgin Mary. Yes, the Lord's charge to St. John also included that privilege, but we can't forget that John became the living figure type for all of the elect until this world ends. We have to remember that it was due to his great supernatural love for our Lord and the Virgin Mary that St. John was there at the foot of the cross. And so St. John heard and believed and immediately acted upon Christ's three simple words to him, "Behold thy mother." And so he took, again, Our Lady to his own, not for his own, as we read in the Douay-Rheim translation of the Holy Bible. And that is a great mystery when you think about the difference between those two words of two and for. But to take someone to your heart, you know, is something that we would understand. And so we know that St. John did not hesitate. He did not question, and he did not wrangle with sophistries. Although his own mother lived, so was the Virgin Mary, his mother, in the order of grace, just as she is the mother in the order of grace to all Christians. And as she said to St. Juan at Mexico and Our Lady of Guadalupe, that she's also there for those who are seeking her divine son. Now, quoting in part a celebrated writer, St. Alphonsus de Liguori, who was a doctor of the Church, wrote in his book, The Glories of Mary, that it was, properly speaking, on Mount Calvary that Jesus formed his Church. And then it is evident that the Blessed Virgin cooperated in a most excellent and especial manner in the accomplishment of this work. And in the same way, it can be said that though she brought forth the head of the Church, Jesus Christ, without pain, she did not bring forth the body of this head without very great suffering. And so it was on Mount Calvary that Mary began in an especial manner to be the mother of the whole Church. The saint then continued, "To say all in a few words, Almighty God, in order to glorify the mother of the Redeemer, has ordained that her great charity should intercede for all those for whom her divine Son offered and paid the superabundant ransom of his precious blood, in which alone is our salvation, life, and resurrection." In those words, too, however, we see reason why devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary is a secret of God. Dear listeners, hello and welcome. I'm Marianna Bartold, the guest host of Signs and Secrets, featured by the Fatima Center. I'm the author of Fatima, the Signs and Secrets, Guadalupe, Secrets of the Image, and I am the host of my own modest channel called Genesis 315. Thanks to the generosity of the Fatima Center, you will find in the description box various links to my works and to my channel. Today, I am again sharing excerpts from different parts of my book, Fatima, The Signs and Secrets, so let's continue. "Secret things to the Lord our God, things that are manifest to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." Found in the Old Testament's book of Deuteronomy, chapter 29, verse 29, that sentence is briefly explained in a footnote of the Douay-Rheim translation of the Holy Bible as follows. "As much as to say, secret things belong to and are known to God alone, our business must be to observe what he has revealed and manifested to us and to direct our lives accordingly." When we look to the Holy Bible, from Genesis all the way through to the Apocalypse, we know that we find opaque secrets, so to speak, about our Lord, Our Lady, and the future of the Church. Tradition can't be forgotten, of course, because St. Paul is clear that we must hold fast to tradition and scripture, which are the two pillars and the two sources of divine revelation. Throughout the long centuries since Christ's resurrection and ascension into heaven, the Lord God has, as we say in human terms, ever so slowly manifesting the Virgin Mary's office in his plan of redemption and salvation. That is, he's revealing it to us, because it was already revealed through Genesis 3:1-5. 4,000 years before Advent, the woman, Mary, and her seed, Jesus, the God-man and our Savior, and those who follow him, who are also her children in the order of grace, were prophesied by God himself in Genesis 3:15. In a similar manner, the doctrine of devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary as necessary for salvation is brought to the world when God deems that it is most needed. St. Louis de Montfort, the apostle of true devotion to Jesus through Mary, sometimes simply called true devotion to Mary, wrote these words: "It was through Mary that the salvation of the world was begun, and it is through Mary that it must be consummated. Mary hardly appeared at all in the first coming of Jesus Christ, in order that men, as yet but little instructed and enlightened on the person of her Son, should not remove themselves from him in attaching themselves too strongly and too grossly to her. But in the second coming of Jesus Christ, Mary has to be made known and revealed by the Holy Ghost in order that through her, Jesus Christ may be known, loved, and served. The reasons which moved the Holy Ghost to hide his spouse during her life and to reveal her but very little since the preaching of the gospel subsist no longer." So, in his own way, St. Louis-Marie de Montfort was referring to what St. Bonaventure called the general law of preparation. Let us note well what St. Louis-Marie specifically pointed out, because he plainly stated that further knowledge and revelation of Mary by the Holy Ghost is the prerequisite to the parousia, meaning the second coming of Christ. And when we further consider that in 1917, Our Lady herself clearly stated, "God wishes to establish throughout the world devotion to my Immaculate Heart," there is certainly ample reason to pause and to consider how late must be the days of this world. However, like St. John the Evangelist, the youngest of the apostles, we should not hesitate, but simply take Mary to our own, as our Lord himself instructed. In the Gospel of St. Mark, our Lord forewarned of a time when there would arise false Christs and false prophets who will show great signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. St. Matthew's record of Christ's words is almost identical to St. Mark's. However, instead of saying to seduce, St. Matthew states, in so much as to deceive, if possible, even the elect. In the modern age in which we all live, wherein every church dogma, doctrine, and article of faith is under attack, wherein our Lord and his saints, especially Mary, the Virgin Mother of God, are blasphemed, wherein so many people recognize that terrible trajectory upon which current events are leading all of us, the faithful would do well to practice a greater devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, because God wills it. As I said on my own channel, Deus Vult. And that is a motto which we may take as our own, remembering always that our holy and merciful Mother Mary told us that it is God's will that devotion to her Immaculate Heart is established throughout the world. Let us always remember, too, that which Our Lady of the Rosary said through the Fatima apparitions: "To whoever embraces this devotion, I promise salvation." those souls will be cherished by God as flowers placed by me to adorn his throne. With that, dear listeners, I share a final reminder. Please join me every other Wednesday for more episodes of Signs and Secrets here on the Fatima Center channel. Until the next time, may God bless you and may Our Lady Mary keep you and yours under her starry mantle. Salve Regina.
This presentation has been brought to you by the Fatima Center. Copyright 2023, all rights reserved. For more resources regarding the message of Fatima and to support this vital apostolate with a donation, please visit our website, fatima.org, or call us at 1-800-263-8160. Immaculate and Sorrowful Heart of Mary, be our salvation. Sacred Heart of Jesus, thy kingdom come.